Hot Talk. Here we go.
He said he living life as a gringo. Where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that.
My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course. A very special guest for our Thursday Trends episode. She is an incredibly talented singer-songwriter whose latest single, Don't Say No, is available everywhere right now. Thalia Falcon, it's good to see you.
What is up? Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be back with you, and I'm excited.
Of course. So, I mean, listen, we're going to have fun with this show. We're going to keep it nice and light because I guess this is officially going to be my Halloween show, okay?
Okay, nice.
So we're going to do a lot of stuff kind of based around that, but we'll also get into maybe a pop legend going Spanish, Christina Aguilera, and some of her new music.
Queen.
We'll kind of... Okay. So we got a fan in the house. So, okay, fair enough. Now I kind of know where you stand on this, but we'll expound upon your opinion. And then maybe some like good uplifting news, a feel good story. And then we'll maybe get into like an intense debate about Halloween candy, possibly costumes. We'll kind of see what we have.
Perfect.
Have time for here. So let's kind of do it. Let's cover some of these stories in our deep dive in a segment we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Back. Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right, so let's start in your world, in your wheelhouse a little bit. I mean, but judging by the way that you reacted when I just said her name, I'm going to guess you are a Christina Aguilera fan.
So I'm so glad she's like making a comeback. She's been obviously kind of MIA, but I mean, I grew up with her because I'm a 90s baby. So
sure.
She's always been a huge inspiration for mine, not only her music and her vocals, but just like me being half Latina, like... Mm-hmm. I can relate to her on a personal level. So I'm really excited that she's back at it again. But
I do want to point out something though, because I think it's funny. So you're a 90s baby, but do you really remember? Yeah, exactly.
I do. Okay. Genie in a bottle. But like,
how old were you? You were like, what, you said born in 96?
96. Yeah. I don't know when that song came out, but like her and J-Lo were like my two biggest inspirations. And then of course Britney.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean,
Genie in a Bottle came out in 99. So you were 3 years old when that song came out.
See, apparently you remember everything after the age of two though. That's like a scientific fact. You remember everything after the age of two.
Is that a scientific fact?
Yes, it is. Look it up.
So 3 years old, you remember Genie in a Bottle. Is that what
you're
telling
us? I do, yes.
Wow. Okay, all right. So, I mean, this isn't her first Spanish, like her first foray, I should say, into the Spanish language. Mm-hmm. I mean, what did you think of the song I had sent you?
I thought it was dope. I mean, I love how it's like, it's under like pop Latino, genre I saw on Apple Music. So, I don't know. It had like kind of a mixture of Latin vibes, though. It wasn't like reggaeton, just like reggaeton, or it wasn't, you know, it was kind of like a mixture. And I don't know if you know, but my dad's actually a Latin artist. So this is like what I grew up around. Mm-hmm. So I'm like big on like the percussion, the horns, like everything. Like that is what touches your soul. Like that is the one thing about Latin music that just touches people. So I thought that was dope that she incorporated like all that into the song. And obviously it's a bad bitch anthem with all the bad bitches in the song. You know, it's not just her, but it's like everybody. So
Becky G, you got,
we're just missing, Nicki, we're Nicole. Missing Rosalia. We're missing Rosalia.
Okay. That's what you would have tossed in there.
Yeah.
See, I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. You know, I don't know.
I wouldn't say I loved it. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I said that, but
it was like, you sound like you might be leaning towards claiming you loved it.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was horrible, but would I bump it like on a girl's night out? Probably not.
Ooh, wow. That's a little
I'm more,
shady.
I'm more into like reggaeton and something with more of like a harder beat, you know?
Right.
That kind of brought me back to like older Spanish music, older Latin music that I think they're trying to like make cool again or bring back. And while it's like, you know, like I said, I love the horns. I love all that. It brings me back to back in the day with my dad watching him perform. Right. But I wouldn't say it's like super modern, you know? now.
That's what I mean. I think it's she's showing her age a bit in it because it doesn't sound like it. Just, it definitely sounds like an older record. Doesn't sound like something cool. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And obviously they throw somebody like Becky G on there who's like current and new.
Yeah. They're like, maybe, just maybe we'll get the younger audience. Who knows? Right. Maybe there'll be a TikTok dance next. You never know.
Oh,
try to get the younger kids. I don't know.
See, but I'm always curious, like your generation, and I guess you do care, but like if you really give a shit about some of these legacy artists, you know what I mean?
I think my generation, I think my generation was the last generation to care about Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. Like that was the end for us. So I don't think anybody under the age of 24 is caring, honestly.
Right. That's a good point.
I don't know. I'm glad. I'm like very happy with the year I was born in. Like I'm glad that I am in, I think Gen Z. See, I always get confused. Gen Z, millennial.
Right.
I think I'm at the end of millennial. I don't even know. But
don't quote me on it. But I think you.
But like we didn't grow up with social media. Thank God. But I think 2 years below me is when all that stuff started to happen. So
you actually might be millennial. It's according to the Googles, it says born between 1981 and 1996.
Let's go.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, I appreciate good music and and I do look up to a lot of those artists. So
that's good to hear. So let's move on to some good news, like a nice feel good story. Okay.
So I'm ready for it.
Did you go to college? Just out of curiosity, because this is a college related story.
I did. I graduated almost 4 years ago. I went to school in Baltimore.
Wow. Okay. So you did get the college experience. So you do know the ups and downs of a college student.
Yes.
Okay. And also, I think being an artist. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say my school was pretty small. It was kind of like high school all over again. The college I went to, it was like 4,000 undergrads. So not really.
Oh, wow.
We didn't have Greek life, didn't have football. So I wouldn't say it was the ideal college experience, but it was still a really fun time. And I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't gone there. So,
did you go away to school or did you commute?
I went away. It was an hour and a half from my house. So
So you got at least a little.
Yeah, a little independence, had a fun time, all that stuff.
Okay, well, this is like had a fun time. That's good for did a lot of party. But anyway, so this is a fun story, like a feel good one, and it is a kid who just graduated college. And I got this from wearemetoo.com. They said his quote is my favorite graduation photo that I took, and it was a woman that was actually at his campus subway, like the restaurant subway. And he says that she kept him fed for 4 years when he was low on money. She came through. He'll never take that for granted. And she ended up basically being his rock throughout the whole ups and downs of the college experience.
That's
and he
beautiful.
Wanted to celebrate. Right?
I'm not surprised by that. I feel like most of the time, a lot of the people that the students connect with are the faculty. This is not like every school from what I've seen.
Right.
My friends posting things on social media about like janitors working there. For me at my school, it was the people in the cafeteria.
Really?
They were the ones who were most popular on campus, or the Starbucks ladies. So I can understand that being the case, but that's amazing. I hadn't seen that story.
Can you think of somebody in your life that has consistently like been that rock for you day in and day out?
I mean, my mom goes above and beyond for not only me, but everybody in our family. She is the most selfless person I've probably ever met. And I look up to her for that big time, but definitely her. Aww. She's done the most for everybody.
That's very sweet. I mean, I know, and also because I know we've talked before, your family is very much like supportive of your music career.
Oh, yes,
and all that stuff, which I'm sure, because like, and I mean, anybody who hasn't tried to take a stab at making it in the entertainment industry in some sector, you don't know just like the roller coaster ride.
It's a roller coaster of emotions, and just you got to have very supportive people around you. And sometimes even your own family members aren't, going to be supportive.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed enough to have them. They let me back in the house after I graduated. Like what? Very lucky. Mm-hmm. Very lucky. But they see that I'm, putting in the work, so they understand. But they've always been very, very supportive of me. So I wouldn't be here without them, honestly.
See, that's dope. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, like, it definitely made the journey a bit harder not having that consistent kind of, like, support system. You know what I mean? Because it's like, man, like, the lows get pretty fucking low.
Well, it makes you stronger. Like, you become a stronger person because of that. So,
yeah. No, that's definitely a great point. And, you know, not to, like, ish on my parents. I actually had them on the podcast, like, the first episode. And we had a whole conversation about all this stuff. Yeah. And, like, you know, I definitely get their perspective of, like, you know, being protective parents and not wanting you to kind of succumb to some of the stereotypes of working in the entertainment industry.
Of course. Yeah. And I think what helped me was that my dad was already involved in this. He went through this whole process too, right, when he was younger than me, actually. So I wonder what it would be like if he hadn't gone through those things. But but yeah, I mean, they've had their fair share of things too, wanting to protect me from certain things. And
sure.
You know, just they didn't want to see me fail, or just a couple, like, you know, things here and there. But things are looking up for sure. So,
all right, so let's keep diving into some current events. But first, feels like a good time to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. All right, we are back. So let's get to the shits a little bit and really dive into something here. And that is the hot debate surrounding the best Halloween candy. Okay. So this is, you sound like you have some opinions.
Well,
okay.
No, listen, I actually, funny you say that, because I went to my little cousin's birthday party the other day and they gave us all this
candy.
And
you stole their candy?
I already ate it all. No, I literally just ate it before this. Starburst. Wow. We got Airheads. I literally already ate it. And I had a dentist appointment yesterday.
Wow. Your room is a collection of wrappers. For anybody that does not see the video out here, she's just pulling wrappers off of her keyboard, it looks like.
No, it belongs in the trash. But right, to answer your question, Sour Patch Kids all the way.
Wow.
That's my favorite candy of all time. Always will be. And then I'm just a big sour candy girl.
Okay, same here.
Really?
Big
okay.
Sour candy girl myself, yeah.
big sour candy girl, you guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just a couple big sour candy girls over here.
And then for chocolate, I would say Twix.
Oh, okay. Well, one of your selections actually made the top five on this list, according to Takeout. So
okay.
I'm gonna run down the top 10 and let's see if we have any issues or where we'd move things around, okay?
All right, go for it.
All right, so here we go. Tootsie Pop came in at number 10.
Off,
canceled. Right?
Needs to be Listen, off.
I don't mind Tootsie Pop, but of all the candies in the world, top, you don't like it at all?
So this is the thing. Chocolate should not be with something that is like sour or, you know, like a hard candy. Those two should not mix.
Right. You but know? It's like the best of both worlds though, because it's like you have your hard candy kind of feel, you know, and then you get to the chocolate in the middle.
Mm-mm. If you want a good lollipop, Blow Pops all the way, all day.
Oh, I mean,
every day.
100%. What's crazy is that they're actually not even on this list.
Really?
Yeah, which is actually surprising.
Okay, who's voting though? Probably like old ass people.
Exactly. I want to.
I don't think any kids today eat Tootsie Pops. I don't think so. But
I mean, I don't. Who knows? We're just some old millennials apparently. I don't know. But
all right, continue. So, sorry.
Let's see. Number 9, M&M's. Thoughts?
They're not bad. It's just again also a very old candy.
Wow. Okay, wow. Now I'm offended because peanut M&M's has to be one of my
favorite. They are good. Peanut M&M's are good. They are
good. No, don't come back over to this side now that you just said it was an old person's candy. All right. Let's see. Number 8, Jolly Ranchers.
Not bad. Not bad. Cherry is pretty good, but
okay. Cherry and lemon. Is lemon even a thing anymore? I can't remember, but they took out one.
Any lemon flavor candy needs to go.
No.
Yes.
Like sour candy. Yo. The Jolly Rancher lemon is so good.
Please look at this. The one flavor that I didn't eat of this candy right here. Lemon.
Gummy
bears.
I don't even know you see, but that doesn't count. That's a totally different flavor palette than like the lemon Jolly Rancher.
Or like lemon Starburst. Mm-mm.
Not my favorite. No, I mean, I'll give you that. Not my favorite for sure. But
okay, lemon. I'm going to have to try that then. Lemon Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah, which I'm not sure if they make it, because I think Blue Raspberry replaced one of them. I can't remember.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've gotten a bag of Jolly Ranchers. Let's see. Hershey's mini bars. So I guess like the regular plain chocolate Hershey's.
So I don't know. Yeah, I didn't mention this, but I actually have like a throat allergy to chocolate. Like I'll sneeze every time I have chocolate. Yeah.
That sounds like a terrible way to live.
I will sneeze every time I have chocolate. Not sure why.
So you shouldn't even be able to commentate on the on the chocolate.
No, I eat it anyway. Really don't have... No, I eat it anyway. It's not like my throat closes up or I need like an EpiPen. Right. I just, sure. My throat itches and I sneeze. That's it. That's it's just an funny.
Interesting allergy.
It's really funny. That's... Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would say specifically though, it's got to be the almond Hershey bar, like minis.
Yeah, so something in it. You know, I don't know if I would just eat it plain unless I really wanted sweets, but.
Yeah, it's not my go-to. All right, so number six though, Sour Patch Kids. That was your favorite. It's number six.
I'd love to see what's 1 through 5 because that belongs number one.
Wow. Okay. All right. So as we get down to it, number five, Snickers, a classic.
Not bad. Yeah.
Okay. Starburst, number four. We were just talking about that.
I feel like that's always a classic. You know, if I go to like 7-Eleven, I'll probably get like Sour Patch Kids and Starburst.
Yeah, you know what? I could fuck with that. This one right here, though, number three, I think is completely overrated. Shouldn't even be in the top 10. Skittles.
Mm-mm. Unless Sour Skittles.
Sour Skittles aren't bad, but they also just like fucking cut your tongue up to like shreds. Like they're really bad. Like they're really bad when it comes to that.
They really do. Like they'll leave your mouth just hurting for like 2 days. Right.
Like in theory, I love them and then I buy them and I'm like, fuck, this is just not.
And then they're
worth
addicted.
The pain.
So you like you can't put them down and it's just torture. But anyway.
It's true. All right. And then number two, one of your picks, which I have to agree on, Twix, which is just a delicious, delicious candy bar.
Mm-hmm. What I do with that is I kind of like break it apart. I like dissect the Twix and I'll like,
what does that mean?
I'll like eat. So I think Kourtney Kardashian does this with Kit Kats, but I do it with Twix. So I take the first half of it off. So it's like the chocolate plus the caramel. I'll eat that first and then eat the shortbread after.
Ew. Are you scraping off parts of it with like your teeth and then it's just like this gross, like, ew.
Pretty much. I'm a weirdo. Wow. I don't care. It's good though.
I hope you don't do that on like a date or something like that. That's that's next level. Number one. Let's see how you feel about this one.
Okay.
Reese's cups.
Absolutely not. That's the one candy.
You like Reese's cups?
No, that's the one candy that I actually am not that big of a fan of. Like I'll eat them. The thin ones actually are pretty good. I'm just not big on peanut butter. I never have been. Like I'll have a PB&J sandwich with a very thin layer of peanut butter, very thin layer of jelly.
Thin layer of jelly. I'm on board with that.
But I haven't been a fan, ever been a fan of Reese's or like dipping Oreos in peanut butter, like from Parent Trap or anything like that.
I'm not a big fan of chocolate and peanut butter together. I think it's like too rich almost, if that makes sense. Yeah. I do like though, the mini cups though. I think those are tolerable. For some reason, those taste a little bit. I think there's more chocolate in those than there is peanut butter.
Yeah, no, it definitely is very rich.
I can fuck with that. I mean, all right. So what would have been your number one on this list? Sour Patch Kids would have still been number one on this list for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would probably go either Twix, which I love, or Snickers. I have to say, it's a classic.
Those are all pretty much classics. I mean, like I said, like five through how many were there?
There were 10.
5 through 10 were just, or 6 through 10 were all old ass candy. Like I don't even think anybody eats those anymore.
I just don't like the peanut M&M slander that's happening right now.
Let me know who's the one voting this about this.
Okay.
Please.
I'm gonna do some research and I'll send you their information. All right, let's do one more thing for Halloween. Let's talk costumes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when it comes to costumes, there are two type of women in this world.
We got the Thadianas and we got the people that don't give a fuck.
Okay, so let's see. Where do you fall on this conversation?
Okay, so I gotta admit, I've been both before.
Okay.
So my freshman year of high school, I was Justin Bieber for Halloween. Wow. I had the wig and everything, like literally like a boy swoosh wig. I don't even know what that's called, but I had the hoodie, the purple hoodie. I did this in the pictures. And the worst part is that I had a boyfriend at the time. And he was like a nerd and he was there. Like he was with me during Halloween.
Wait,
and, like,
he was dressed as a nerd or he was just like an actual nerd?
No, he was dressed as a nerd. Sorry. He was dressed as a nerd. And it's just the fact that like I was literally dressed up as a dude and like he's just like still particularly treating me like his girlfriend. I'm like,
Right.
Wait a day, a minute.
Yeah, in high school.
And
it's a little rough.
So there was that, but then college, of course, like we had our parties or whatever, had to flex on them. So I was like a skeleton.
What about this year? Are you planning on getting dressed up this year?
Honestly, the older I get, the less I care. And I'm not like going out. I'm not going out, you know, out and about and all that.
Sure.
Still. So I don't really have any plans. I sound like a loser, but it is what it is.
I mean, no, I'm in the same boat. I'm not like, I mean, I generally wasn't the type to get dressed up and go out anyway. Mm-hmm. I think I would end up out there because I was DJing. So like that was true, my time true. To be out there. But yeah, I'm not planning on doing anything out of the ordinary or getting dressed up to be.
No, you know, you want to know, you want to actually know what I've always wanted to do. Like been my dream forever for like every Halloween. I want to get a black morph suit and just pop out of bushes and like scare the shit out of kids. I think I'm going to do it this year. Should I?
You know, why not? Why not? You know what?
No, like, but nowadays, like you never know if someone's like, yeah, I'm not trying to lose my life. So maybe I'll just stay inside and like watch Netflix.
Yeah, maybe that's for the best. Maybe you just give kids candy instead of like, you know, scarring them for life. That might be the better choice, the smarter choice when it comes to this.
Oh God. Yep. All right. Sounds like a good plan.
I like it. We're getting somewhere now. So, all right. So we're going to move on to our Mi Gente segment of the show where we kind of celebrate and focus on some good stuff that people are doing in our community. Mi Gente. All right. So here in our Mi Gente segment, I want to honor some people who are doing some good work. And here I'm actually just honoring an entire island right now. So I'm honoring the people of Puerto Rico, which has the highest rate of COVID-19 vaccination in the entire United States right now. So more than 73% of that population is fully vaccinated, while here in the States is just over 57%. So, I mean, that's great stride. That's why they're able to open up and do so many different things now and kind of get back to normal life. So I want to celebrate the people doing all the stuff behind the scenes and the government and everybody, you know, taking the time to be safe and protecting one another.
That's super amazing. And those are your people, right?
Yeah, that's my people.
Let's
and
go.
Actually, it makes me motivated to go back to that because I haven't traveled in a minute, basically since the beginning of the pandemic. Puerto Rico was the last place to travel to, like,
really?
Actually, it might have been LA, but they were all within weeks of each other, and then like we all got just shut the fuck down, like completely.
Wow. One place I've never been is Puerto Rico. I haven't even
really.
I haven't even been to Cuba yet, and that's where my dad's from. So. Gotta make
has
my way
your dad
there
been
too.
To Cuba?
He hasn't yet.
Interesting. So yeah, you guys gotta make that trip. It's always fun to kind of travel. I know what you're also half
Greek.
What is it? Greek? Have you been to Greece?
Yeah, I have. I actually studied abroad there in college.
Really?
Yep. Not much studying going on, but you know, it was a fun time.
I can
it was
imagine.
More like vacation for 5 months, but you right. know, I'd love to experience that same thing with Cuba. So
how was growing up for you, the like kind of, you know, splitting between the two cultures, like do you kind of feel like you got equal sort of introduction to each culture?
I would say so. I mean, for the Greek culture, they're very much I don't know, they just obsess with being Greek. And so my mom threw me into Greek school when I was like four, five. Threw me into Greek dance lessons. I took Spanish class all throughout my schooling, even in college. So that was kind that was already taken care of in a way. And with all my family gatherings and all that, that also helped too, like on my Spanish or on my Cuban side. But believe it or not, there's actually a lot of similarities between both cultures. Like they're both very engulfed around and wrapped around family, good food, culture, like everything. So both of those cultures are very passionate about their culture. So
see, that's dope. I love that because it's tough. Like, you know, as you begin to get like the separation of the generation that actually was like born and raised there, you know what I mean? Like just little traditions that become lost and like little kind of just intricacies of being a part of that culture begins to kind of get lost just in everyday life. And also adapting like American culture, you know, and becoming a part of, like, you know, you went to college in Maryland, so that holds some sort of cultural aspect to like how you are as a human being, you know.
Right
it's difficult.
No, people always ask me whenever I'm live, they're like, so which culture do I identify with most? And that's it's hard to say. I mean, I can't even choose because both of those cultures make me who I am, you know.
So
there's no way I could choose, but I'm very blessed to be from two very special countries.
Yeah, see, that's dope. That's dope. All right, so let's talk about you here and all that you have going on. I know you've been really consistent with putting out singles over the last year and your videos and things like that. I mean, what are you working on right now?
So right now, I'm actually very blessed that Don't Say No is doing so well. I actually, two of my songs, Don't Say No and All That, made it onto the top five iTunes charts for Brazil this past week.
Wow.
Yeah, which is insane. It's insane. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful to have the fan base that I have. But since we last talked, I mean, I've grown a lot, not even just like my fan base, but grown as an artist and a person. And I'm still learning a lot every day. I'm just trying to go up like this and keep going all the way.
I love it.
So yeah, I'm just trying to get, you know, stay consistent with content, trying to get better as a vocalist. The job is never finished. So.
Sure. Well, what do you... have you been targeting like Brazil, or I'm just curious if that's like a random thing?
So I found out the other day that, well, first of all, I have a ton of Brazilian fans. But I was talking to my manager and he was saying that Brazil is one of these music hubs that they don't really care about, you know, which artists are popular. You know, over here in the US, everyone gravitates towards who's popular, who's hottest right now, who's this, who's that, and doesn't focus on the music, you know?
Sure.
They'll support an artist that has a shitty song. just because they're popular. But in Brazil, they really, you know, like good music and don't care about the, you know, don't care about the popularity aspect. So I think they somehow found it on the internet, either on Instagram, on TikTok. It blew up. One of my videos got almost 2 million views. It's at like 1.6 million right now.
Wow.
And after that, awesome. You know, I didn't really believe in the power of TikTok until that happened to me, but the streams just went up and up and up. And as soon as that video,
was that millions on your, like a YouTube video?
No. So the million was on just one singular TikTok.
Wow. And then that transferred over into like a bunch of streams. Wow. That's awesome.
It's crazy how that works. I mean, I honestly didn't believe it until it happened, but it is possible just from one video going viral. It's nuts.
That's so beautiful. I mean, it's funny because we can all talk shit about TikTok and all these different platforms and things like that, but the beauty of it is it really does connect people. You know what I mean? Like the fact that you can put up one video on this app, all of a sudden a million people now discover your music and like fall in love with you as an artist, and you're all connected. Even, you know, you're not even from Brazil, have zero connection to it whatsoever. It's just like an incredible thing.
I have chills that like my music is even reaching places this far for me. It's nuts, all because of the power of the internet. It's crazy,
right?
And it's cool to, you know, start fan bases on each platform, and then before you know it, they start to mesh and merge together. People will see me on live on TikTok and then head over to my Instagram and be like, oh, I saw you on TikTok. I followed you here. Like, I want to know more about you, all this stuff. So I'm very, very grateful. And it's only going to keep growing.
Do you have a schedule?
So I do.
Do you have like a schedule for so how do you lay it out? I'm just curious. Like how
to a schedule for content creation or like.
Yeah, like social, like do you go, are you saying, okay, Tuesdays I go live on TikTok, Wednesdays Instagram,
No, I don't. Okay. I kind of just go with whenever I have like a free moment. I don't want to make it so structured. I mean, there are people that do that and maybe I will end up doing that one day, but for right now I kind of just do it whenever, you know, it feels right. But when I start to see, you know, like I have a lot of fans in India right now, so I have to work around their schedule sometimes. And if, you know, I'll go live like at midnight some nights. So, cause it's morning for them. And then same with my UK people, have a lot of fans in the UK. So I'll go live, you know, they're at school when it's morning for me. So I'll wait till like 5 PM to go live so I can talk to them, you know, just, you gotta kind of like focus on those things, but I don't really have like a strict schedule.
I will say, kudos, you are consistent. Cause I feel like every time I log onto Instagram, I see that you're live. So, it's like every time it feels like.
I was gonna say that you probably see that I posted because I also post every single day.
Right.
I definitely annoy the shit out of some people, but then they come, then they're like, Talia, how are you growing your followers so fast?
Right.
I mean, that's how. So
yeah, that it's true. It's like it's and it, but it really is like a fucking job because I used to be a lot more consistent with Instagram.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get back to it, but I used to like post every single day, same way. I used to go live every single day during the quarantine, all that kind
I
of
do
stuff.
Remember that. Yeah. I see you on there all the time.
Yeah, and it worked. It literally like some people might get annoyed by it, like you said, but like those aren't the people that you're trying to speak to anyway.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
Like you're anybody who really fucks with you and is actually going to like, you know, take a step to, you know, listening to your music or supporting what you do, like they're not going to have an issue with you putting out a shit ton of content. They're only going to be happy with that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I remember the last conversation we had, you were asking about haters. And every time I come across a hater, I think of you. I'm not going to lie. Every time. Yes. Because
what did I say?
Because you were just asking me, you're like, so do you get haters yet or anything like that? Have you come across any? And I go, no, not yet. Not really. And while I still don't, you know, that often, there are, now that I'm, you know, my social media pages are being exposed more, I am coming across more than I was before. You know, there was a couple of hate pages made about me on Instagram.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's not even worth talking about because it's just dumb shit, but it's just funny to me. You know what? The one thing that gets me is when people from my college like unfollow me a while back and then or from high school and then now follow me again. I'm like, do I hear something?
Right.
I'm like, oh, you again? Yeah, now you want to refollow me. Okay, well, enjoy the show.
Yeah, it is funny how that happens. And see what I like, I get a lot, I get certain hate things, but like, I kind of understand it because I also talk about politics, which is always going to be a testy subject for anybody, you know, regardless of what you fall on. But you are just making music. You know what I mean? Like, so,
and like funny ass content. It's like people always have something to get mad about.
Right.
TikTok is the place for that, people to shit on everything.
Really?
And it's like so dumb. But it's just a bunch of children on that app. So what else do you expect?
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Well, listen, what can people expect from you? I mean, what are you working on right now?
So I have so much music coming. Mm. Everyone's like album. Not an album yet. Okay. Enough songs to be in an album, but I'm just still having so much fun, like trying different sounds. And the thing that's dope is that the music is literally helping me find myself. Like, it's a cycle. It's like, I'm recording this music. I'm putting my personal experiences into it. And then I'm just like gaining the confidence back. It's like just a cycle. And it's really cool.
Yeah,
it sounds cheesy, but like the music is literally helping me feel like a bad bitch. Cause I say that I'm the CEO of Bad Bitch Anthems. And at the same time, while I'm feeling confident with the music, it's helping other young girls and even guys feel confident. And that is like, that just makes me the happiest person in the world. Because if I can just help people with their confidence and making them feel good about themselves in this shitty ass world, like, I don't know, that just makes me feel really good and just a testament to my purpose. So I'm grateful.
Yeah. I love that. All right. Where can people follow you on socials and get to know you a little bit better?
So my Instagram is Talia Falcon, TaliaFalcon. My TikTok is Talia C Falcon. Someone stole my name.
Wow.
And then Spotify, Apple Music. I'm on every platform. So check me out also on YouTube.
Awesome. Well, listen, I appreciate you hopping on. Always good to catch up with you.
Yes, and keep
doing
of course.
Your thing, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Ask a Gringo.
I have a question.
All right. So I have to say, this has probably been the hottest conversation I've had on my Instagram. The most answers and people expressing themselves on this. And I guess people are really passionate about Halloween candy and expressing what their favorite candy is. So anybody that wants to participate in these conversations that I have on each and every podcast at DJ Dramos on Instagram. But I basically ask my followers favorite Halloween candy and then also your least favorite Halloween candy. And I'm just going to quickly run through a few here because it was just like good kind of quick short answers on here. Okay, let's see. So we'll start with best Halloween candy. First and foremost, I just see somebody's bugging over here. Mikey YW718,
I know you are a big follower and you chime in on these things, but my dude, you are bugging. This man said candy corn is the best Halloween candy. Out of all candies out here, you're literally picking the one that is like the majority of people's least favorite and probably the most hated candy in all of Halloween. Let's see. At Glamorista 8, getting real, real greedy. She wants them full-size sticker bars. But listen, I ain't even mad at you. I loved when I was a kid and that one house. You got that one rich house that they give out them full-size candy bars. And I love me some Snickers. Oh, my God. I'm going to, you know what? I might OD this weekend and just buy a bunch of Halloween candy for myself and break my, like, you know, no sugar diet or no candy diet, I should say, on the weekend, because I'm breaking that diet a little bit. And I got to be honest here. A lot of Reese's, like, that is the main one that I'm seeing here. And that actually goes along with the list that I was reading with Thalia. I mean, some cross_soul says Reese's. Kings don't need reasons, and the Reese's is the king of candy. Fair enough. No reasons. Let me see. Yvonne says Reese's peanut butter cups is the perfect balance of sweet and salty. I wouldn't say it's the... I personally, it's not my favorite, but I get it. I like the mini ones are the ones for me. And I love this one right here. Josuvieda. I'm sorry if I fucked that up. _ at the end of that. Says anything Reese's. Grew up on it and was my grandfather's favorite. Rest in peace. Oh, that's beautiful. It has a sentimental value. Last one, honorable mention here, just because it's a very random one, and my mom would be very much in agreement with you. At Raul VS17 said Whoppers, which is like the most random candy that you never hear about, but that's my mom, one of my mom's favorite candies. That was in my house a lot growing up. All right, so let's move on to people's least favorite Halloween candies, and no surprise here, candy corn is the majority here that I'm seeing. At Menes in Society says candy corns. Shit doesn't make any sense, man. I would agree. There's nothing about candy corn that I find remotely like interesting that I actually would want to try. And I think my mom loves candy corn. Mama has terrible taste in candy, just saying. Let's see. At Joan Vasquez 36, candy corn, that shit is nasty. _soul, candy corn is the worst. Who wants to eat chalk tasting wax for Halloween? My guy Viet D-Dog 21 said Pez, which I disagree. I fuck with Pez. It's just not something I would go out of my way to eat. Ooh, Yvonne said black licorice. It smells bad and tastes even worse. I agree with you. At Eric Mandoval says Twizzlers, no taste. Which, first and foremost, how dare you, sir? How dare you? I love me some Twizzlers, especially the pull and peel ones are out of this world. I think it's the cherry flavor. Those are so fucking delicious because they're actually soft. They're not like hard like normal Twizzlers, but I fuck with some Twizzlers. And actually, somebody said at Sensei _wannabe said Reese's Cups as the worst candy. Okay, so you push it back against the norms over here. I think we can go on a limb here and say that the people have said Reese's are the best candy and candy corn is the absolute worst. And you know what? I get it. I disagree when it comes to Reese's, but I do get it. And with that said, let's end on some conclusions, too. We've been having fun on this episode, and we'll quickly end on some conclusions, too.
Time for conclusions, too.
All right, so I'm quickly going to kind of recap some of the stories we've been talking about this episode. Christina Aguilera diving back into Latin music. It's cool. I mean, more power to her, but it sounds dated. And it just sounds like an older artist trying to stay current. I think if you think about that generation of artists, to me, somebody like Pink is like the textbook blueprint for aging gracefully. Like, she's found her crowd of like moms, you know, who just love her music. And I think that that's what a lot of people kind of miss the point over. Like, Christina Aguilera is like trying to be like, you know, hot and young, and not to say she's not attractive, you know, obviously she still is you know, a beautiful woman, is incredibly talented, but it just feels weird, like kind of give us the same vibe she was doing when she was in her 20s. Just doesn't feel like she's aging gracefully. And the song sounds a bit dated, but that's just, you know, my opinion. You can listen to it for yourself. Also, that feel good story I touched on, man, like, appreciate the people who have been there for you through your lowest points, you know, and if you are able to be that person for somebody else, because, man, it obviously having somebody there for you, even if they're not related to you, and just kind of being there to help you through some of the tougher times in your life is something that will always leave an impact on people. And I feel like that's what we're all kind of striving to do in this world, is hopefully leave a positive impact and leave this world just a bit of a better place than it was before we came into existence. And lastly, when it comes to Halloween candy, whoever wrote this list, and apparently it was like, you know, tallied by different, like, you know, sales figures and shit like that, I'm still going to call bullshit as far as at least my own flavor palette goes. Top three has to be, in any particular order, Twix, Snickers, and M&M peanuts. And actually, I actually got to say top of my list is Hershey's Cookies and Cream, highly underrated candy bar. I just want to let you all know that. And actually, they have like these crunchy bits that they do in like those bags. And it's got like, I think it's got like graham crackers or granola or something. It's incredible. That stuff is crack. I'll eat a whole bag and just feel nauseous, you know, for the rest of the night, but totally worth it. Actually, new number one for me right now is the Kinder Bueno, the hazelnut with the chocolate. If you have not had this, highly recommend. I don't know where the fuck Kinder Bueno came from. I tried it once when I was in Puerto Rico, and I just saw it popping up over here locally. And I'll tell you what, that is my one like addiction and weakness. I haven't been giving into it recently, but my goodness, if I went into like a CVS at my house to grab anything, I always was walking out with, you know, a pack of those Kinder Bueno bars, because they're just fucking amazing. And now I'm just wanting to eat all the candy. I'm going to have to go Halloween candy shopping for this weekend and just sit in my house on my couch, stuffing my face with this. And that sounds like a great weekend to me. With that said, I hope y'all have a good weekend. Be safe out there if you're enjoying and partaking in the festivities. And I will be back on Tuesday with a brand new full-ass episode for y'all. Feel free to rate and share the podcast. Those comments, those reviews always mean a lot on Apple Music. They really do help out. And of course, if you don't already, at DJ Dramos on Instagram, then you can have your voice heard on the show. And that's it. I'll talk to y'all on Tuesday. Peace. Life as a Gringo is a production of the Michael Dura Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.